Penguin Audio presents The Echelon Vendetta, written by David Stone, read by Firdaus Bamji. Chapter 1. Friday, August 31st, Two Moon Trailer Camp, Mountain Home, Idaho, 11:59 local time. At 6 minutes after midnight, everything changed. Runciman sensed it, even in his drunken sleep. He was not alone. There was a thing in the room with him, and an unfamiliar scent drifting on the stale air, mingling with the tang of cut pine and the rancid reek of grease from the Arby's across the highway. A sharp, biting scent, almost but not quite like eucalyptus. Runciman, his heart pounding against his ribcage like a boxer working the heavy bag, snapped fully awake, lying on his back in the damp tangle of his sheets, staring up at the bars of blue light that rode upon the ceiling of his trailer, listening so hard to the breathing silence in his room that his skull began to ache. He looked carefully to his right and saw a dim, man-like figure, wrapped in a formless darkness. It appeared to be standing in the middle of the long, narrow room. Runciman slid a hand under the pillow, got his fingers around the grip of an old blue steel Smith & Wesson, and rolled off his bed into a crouch on the side away from the shape, the revolver aimed out into the darkness. The shape in the center of the room did not move. "You want to die doing this," Runciman said, his harsh voice oddly loud in the silence of the trailer. "You've come to the right place." Out in the humid night, an 18-wheeler chuffed its air brakes and ground its gears down the falling grade that led into Mountain Home. The shadow in the room didn't react to him in any way, if it was a shape and not a trick of the light. It seemed to Runciman that whatever it was, its attention was elsewhere. Keeping the muzzle on the center of the dark mass, Runciman fumbled for the bedside lamp and flicked it on. The warm yellow light spilled out into the room, picking out the shabby sofa, the yard sale furniture, the card table littered with empty beer cans, and the remains of Runciman's takeout Chinese. There was nothing there. No shape, no shadow, no thing. He lowered the gun and wiped his sweating face with a shaking hand, steadied himself on the cot, and stood upright, weaving slightly, old joints cracking, head pounding, lips and mouth dry. He sighed, wiped a hand across his lips, and turned to stumble down the narrow hall into the tiny stainless steel bathroom, where he set the Smith down on the toilet tank and ran the water into the rusted cistern until the cold made his fingers ache. He scrubbed his face hard with a threadbare towel that smelled of mildew and spilt beer, braced his hands on the edge of the cistern, and stared into the mirror, seeing the remnants of a once hard man whose features were now sagging into pouches and lines and seams, like a wax mask melting. He dried his hands on the curtain over the window, sighed, and stepped back out into the hall, where a big man stood very close. A tall, shadowy shape, a skull with black pits for eyes. The skull man lifted his open palm up to his lips and blew a cloud of fine, pinkish powder into Runciman's face. Runciman caught a fleeting scent of eucalyptus, not quite like eucalyptus, before his world cracked wide open. A pale green corpse light poured up through the grates beneath his bare feet, and the tin ceiling of his trailer peeled back to reveal a vast cobalt sky marbled with pale glowing mist. Runciman rose up and drifted through this limitless universe, disembodied, pierced through with starlight, his skin burned with the heat of violet suns. He watched, detached, as the thread that held his mind to his body stretched out into a thin golden wire that hummed like a plucked string.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?